Okay, today's shiur, I just want to dedicate the Zechus Refuah Shleima for Shner Zalman Dan HaKohen Ben Zelda, father of a good friend of mine who's going in for open heart surgery at about 7 o'clock this morning. So you should have a Refuah Shleima and the Zechus of our learning. Okay, we are holding on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. Today's Daf Tav Gzar Daf Lamed Zayin. We're holding on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. I believe we got up until the word Mai Al Davar Acher, which is last one line is Mai, about 8 lines before the end of the page. So we had quoted a brisa yesterday that said that went through the reasons for all the gzeros of shemen and pas and yayin, and it said that where it goes there al pita nushmanan mishum yenan, that the bread and the oil is because of the yayin, val yenan mishum benosayhen, the yayin is because of the daughters, val benosayhen mishum davaracher, benosayhen we asked because of davaracher referring in that instance to avodah zara, and then we said val davaracher mishum davaracher. And Davaracher is also because of Davaracher, and we didn't really explain what that meant. So it was somewhat of a cryptic line, Davaracher Mishum Davaracher. So it says the Gemara, Mai Al Davaracher Mishum Davaracher. What does it mean, Al Davaracher Mishum Davaracher? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Gazru Al Tinok Ovid Chavim, Sheitame Beziva, Shelo Yehi Tinok Yisrael Ragil El Slo B'Mishkov Zachar. There goes that a Tinok Ovid Chavim should be Metame Beziva, that a child of an Ovid Chavim should have the status of a Tumazav, in order that a Tinok Yisrael should stay away from him and should not end up with involved in Mishkav Zachar together with the Tinok Ovid Kochavim. And the point is that there goes that he's Metam Beziva, not only if he actually has some sort of flow from his body, which would itself be Gzera, because Midaraisa, a guy can't be Metam Beziva, but even if he doesn't have any flow from his body, if you look at Rashi, Sheitame Beziva, Afilu Lo Ra'a, even if he doesn't see anything, Gozru alav lihios kazav. There were gozer on him to be like a zav. It's similar to the halach we mentioned yesterday, that there were also gozer on Amma Aretz, that an Amma Aretz has a din of a zav. So Tinok Ovid Chavim also has a din of a zav. Dam Rabbi Zeira, Tsar Gadol Hoy Lietzel Rabbi Asi Yitzel Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan Eitzel Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Yanai Eitzel Rabbi Nosson Ben Amram, Rabbi Nosson Ben Amram Eitzel Rabbi, that there was a Tsar Gadol that I had, and he goes through the whole chain of Rabbanim. What does it mean, Tsar Gadol? So Rashi says, Kolomar Tarech Gadol Hayili Etzlo B'Sheila Zu Sheshaltiya Minimenu Kama Pa'amim V'lo Hayi B'Yado. I've asked this Shaila so many times, and I wasn't able to get an answer. I kept on bringing up the issue over and over again, and I wasn't able to get an answer, and it wasn't just me. It was all these Rabbanim by these other Rabbanim kept on asking this Shaila, and they weren't able to get an answer. Tinok Ovid Kochavim Me'em Masai Metame B'Ziva. At what point is a Tinok Ovid Kochavim going to already become Tame Beziva? But Amali Ben Yomo, and he said to me, Ben Yomo, when he's one day old, a day old baby, he's already Mitame Beziva. Ukshabasi is Rabbi Chia Amali Ben Teshanim Yomechad. But when I went to Rabbi Chia, he told me, no, it's when he's 9 years old. 9 years old is generally considered when he's Roy Labia. So the issue might hinge on when they made this Gezerah because of Mishkav Zachar, did they make the Gezeira to apply across the board to any Tinok Akum where no relationship should develop even in childhood, so that even when they get older it shouldn't lead to Mishkav Zachar? Did they make the Gezeira only at a point where it's Shayach Mishkav Zachar, only at a point where the child is even capable of having Bia, which is at the age of 9? So we said, so Rabbi Chia said at the age of 9, Ukshabasi v'ritzesi dvarai lifnei Rabbi, and when I went and I told what I've heard to Rabbi, Amrli Hanach Dvarei V'Achoz Dvarei Rabbi Chia. So Rabbi said, forget what I told you, when I told you it was only one day, a day-old baby, and instead, listen to Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia knows what he's talking about, that it's a 9-year-old child. Damar Tinok Ovid Chav, Memus HaMitam B'Ziva, Ben Teish Shanam Yom Echad. Ho, V'Roy Lebiya Mitameinami B'Ziva. And it makes sense that since he's Roy Lebiya, so it makes sense that he's also Mitame B'Ziva. And if you look at Rashi, he explains exactly like we said before, the time of the Gzeira Ziva Mishum Bia Havai, because the whole reason they were gozer that he should have Tumazav was because of the Bia. Kada Amran Shlo Yitinok Shel Yisrael Ragilat Shlo B'Mishkav Zachar Hilchach Lo Gazra La Ad Chazi L'Bia. That's why it makes sense that they didn't impose the Gzeira until he's Roy Labia, until the child is Roy Labia, because that's what the particular concern was in this case. Now all these Rabbanim, Tosfos just makes a simple ha'ara on the bottom that he keeps on saying Tzar Gadol by me, by this rabbi and by that one, right? It was Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Nosson ben Amram and Rebbe. So he says what you see is that all of them definitely lived in the same generation, that they all lived in the days of Rebbe, which may not seem all that critical over here, but throughout Shas, Tosfos is always very eager to point out when conversations don't make sense between intergenerationally between different people. So Tosa says, okay, look, this is going to set one of the rules for us in terms of who lives when. All these different Tanaim lived in the same generation in the days of Rebbe. Amar Ravina, Hilka Chatinokas Avedus Kochevim Bas Gimel Shon Miyomechad Holv Ru'il Biya Metamanam Beziva. So he said, wait a second, by a male child at the age of 9 is Roy Libya, and since at the age of 9 is Roy Libya, that's when we go there, then he's going to have Tumazav. By a female child at the age of 3, she's already Roy Libya. So since at the age of 3 she's already Roy Libya, so a Tinok Ovedes Kochavim should become Asur already at the age of 3. So says Gemara Pshita, of course, well, it's obviously Tali, I'm being Roy Libya. Since a Tinok, at the time he's Roy Libya, it's obvious that a Tinok is also at the time she's Roy Libya, should have Tumaziva. So says Gemara, no, Mal de Tema Hai Yadal Ergule, Vaha Lo Yod Al Ergule, Kamash Milan. I might have thought that since a Tinok, when he's Roy Libya, he's going to be more deceitful and more tricky, and he's going to be able to figure out how to pull in the Jewish child to his grasp and be able to seduce him. But a Tinokas, a 3-year-old, granted she's Roy Libya in the sense that if she has Bia, her Basulim is not growing back, and that it's called a Halachic Bia once she's 3 years old, but she has no clue, she doesn't know, she's not going to be able to seduce anybody into having Bia. So I would think that there's no reason to be Gozer to Maziva, because there's nothing that she could do. She can't act on the fact that she's Roi Libya, because she can't, there's no concern that she's going to draw anybody in. So Kamash Malan therefore comes to tell me that no, we make a Kamash Malan what? Right, so you could understand it in two ways. Either Kamash Malan that we're so not trusting of the Tinokas of Edz Kochavim that we assume that she's already an expert at the age of 3 in drawing people in, or more likely, Kamash Milan, that it's a low plug, that we made the Tumaziva, since it's based on a concern of Bia, we made it a low plug that as soon as you write Libya, you're going to have Tumaziva. Mistamach Vazel Rabbi Yudin Nesia Akasved Rabbi Simlai. So Rabbi Yudin Nesia was going on the shoulders, literally. He was leaning on the shoulders of Rabbi Simlai. He apparently wasn't able to walk, or as a sign of kavod, they carried him. So Shame the Rabbi Simlai Shame, Rabbi Simlai his Shamish. So Amalei Simlai Lo Yisa Amish Beis Hamedrash Kishi Tarnu Es Hashemen. So unbelievable. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia says to Rabbi Simlai, you missed a great day in the Beis Hamedrash yesterday. We were matir Shemen Akum. Amar Lo. So he said back to him, Yemenu Tatir Afes Apas, that in our day we should still see the day that we can be matir pasakum as well. Matir shemenakum, we should be able to be matir pasakum as well. This relates to what Tosfos said in Lamed Hamed Beis. We saw Tosfos that said that from the fact that it says pas lo hutra bebezdin, so the Gemara says mechlal deika leman deshari, that there's someone that holds that it's mutter. So Tosfos points out that it must have been lo pashat isuro. It must have been something that wasn't widely that wasn't widely accepted in all of Klal Yisrael right away. And he says the raya to the fact that it's lo pashat isuro is lamed zayin amar aleph b'yameinu tatir afes apas lo iniach latir ol mishum davar korle bezin sharia, is that they wanted to be matir pas. The only reason they weren't matir pas, the Gemara is going to say, is because they were afraid of what that's going to do for their reputation, that the same bezin is matir shemenakum and pasakum, they're going to think that they're going to have a reputation as a very makel bezin. But otherwise it sounds like that they were within their rights to be matir pas because it wasn't pashat isuro. Had it been pashat isuro, then they certainly would not have been within their rights to matir pas. So Amar Lo, so that's what he said to him. Im kein korlan based in Sharia. If we were to be matir the pas, you're right, halavai we should, but if we were to be matir the pas, they're going to call us the based in Sharia. It's going to destroy our reputation. They're going to that's the kinds of names that they're going to call us. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Ditnan, hey Rabbi Yossi ben Yozer ish tsreda al ayl kamtza dachan, that on a certain type of grasshopper he was made. This is a Mishnah Maseches Edios. The Mishnayos Maseches Edios have a unique language. They start out with the word heyed instead of amar or anything like that, because Maseches Edios was nishneis, it was taught all in a single day in Keren B'Yavne, that they decided to get together and try to record all of the teachings that there was fear would get lost from Torah Shebal Peh. So they said, whoever remembers anything, whoever has a Masorah, a specific Masorah to share, should come and share it. And that's why Maseches Edios, if you ever learn Maseches Edios, there's no topic to Maseches Edios. It happens to be in the Zikin, but it could be anywhere, because it's got Taros, it's got Kachim, it's got everything. It's from all over Shas, whatever people thought of saying that day. So one of the things that Rabbi Yossi ben was made was about an ayil kamtza, a certain type of grasshopper, that it's tahar, that it's kosher, and it's mutar ba'achila. Va'al mashka beis mitbechaya, and the other thing he was made was about a mashka beis mitbechaya, which means the blood and the water that are in the that are in the slaughterhouse in the Azara, that are in the special place where they would do the shechitas in the Azara. So the blood and the water dachan is also tahar. Is also going to be tahar. They weren't gozer tumas mashkin on the mashka basement b'chaya. Normally it goes with tumas mashkin. If you look at Rashi dachan in the first skinny line, lo gozra leim tumas mashkin u plukti hi lekaman. Rav Amar dachan mamish to savra ein mashkin mekablin tuma el midrabanan. Rav says tahar means literally tahar, because mashkin are really only mekabel tuma midrabanan. So that tuma that mashkin are normally mekabel, they were never gozer on these mashkin. Ubahani lo gozer ushmul amar dachan milatami tumas acherim avol tumas atzman yesh. Shmuel says, no, dachan means that they're tahar in the sense that they're not mitame other things, but their own tuma they certainly have. And Shmuel holds that the actual tuma of the mashke itself, its own tuma, that's not the Rabbanan, that's the Oraisa. So the Rabbanan can't undo that for the mashke beis mitbechaya. But the ability to be mitame other things, sometimes when Chazal use the word tame, they don't mean tame on its own. Sometimes tame refers to the ability to be mitame other items. So Shmuel holds that midah raisa, the mashke itself, can become tame, it just doesn't have the ability to share that tuma. And that's what we're saying, that the mashke beis mitbechaya is dach and doesn't have the ability to share that tuma. The misav, and they also were gozer that if someone is nogeh b'meis, then he's going to become tame. Someone touches a mace, he's going to become tame. And the obvious question the Gemara is going to get into, they were gozer that if someone touches a mace, he's going to become tame. When you touch a mace, midaraisa, obviously you become tame. And also this Mishnah supposedly is giving us all the kulas. It's supposed to be giving us all the kulas. We're trying to demonstrate how you become known as a Beis Din Sharia when you give too many kulas. So that doesn't sound like a kula. To say that somebody's going to be tame when they do something sounds more like a chumrah than it does like a kula. The korale Yosef Sharia. So since Yosef ben Yoezer made this gezerah, so they called him Yosef Sharia. They called him Yosef the big matir. By the way, you see the name Yosef is a nickname, right? They didn't call him Yossi Sharia, so Yossi was just a nickname. Yosef is his real name. So Amalei Hasam Sharatlas Umar Sharachada. So Rabbi Simlai said back to Rabbi, no, don't worry about that. They're going to call you a Beis Din Sharia, not to Rabbi, to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Rabbi's grandson. He said, don't worry that they're going to call you a Beis Din Sharia if you go in your Matir Pasakum, even after you're already Matir Shemenakum, because the reason they called Yossi ben Yoezer, Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, Yosef Sharia, was because he was matir three things. I'm only asking you to be matir two things. I promise I'm never going to ask for another kula again. These are the only two that we need, and that will be good enough. So says the Gemara, Amalei Hasam Sharatlas Umar Sharachada V'Shari Mar Chada Achriti. And if you want to go and be matir one more, Akati Tartin Hudahavyan, it's still only going to be two. It's not going to be three, so you'll still be okay. He says, no, I've already used up my second one. I already used up my second kula already. So Mahi, what are we talking about? What second kula did Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya already use? And we have a Mishnah in Mesechus Gittin, Zegi Techim Lobasim Mikan Vashemasur Chodesh. Umeis Betoch Shemasur Chodesh. If a person says, this should be your get, if I don't come between now and 12 months from now. And then he dies, so a guy gives a get to his wife and says, the get should be Chal, I'll deny that on my, and it's the tenai of the get, it hinges on my ibia, on my not coming. So if I don't come, then the tenai is fulfilled and it should be a good get. And then he dies within 12 months. Ain't no get. It's not going to be a good get if he dies within 12 months. But Tani Allah, and we learned on that, then nevertheless, Rabbi Seinu were matir her. They allowed her to get married, meaning even if he had a brother who was refusing to do Yibam, they say that she's not an aguna, she's not zakuk to the Yavam, she's allowed to get married without any further halachic issues. V'arminon man Rabbi Seinu, and we say, who is this Rabbi Seinu? It's the same Beis Din as the Beis Din that's matir the oil. So you see, the Beis Din that's matir Shemen Aklum was matir this girl who received the get al menas that the husband doesn't come back within 12 months. So it was matir her to get remarried. Savri la Rabbi Yossi damer zmanu shel shtar mochiach alav, and they hold that Rabbi Yossi, who holds that the zman of the get is going to be the ultimate decider of when the get is meant to be chal, and since he wrote the get a year earlier, and the zman, and at that time he was still alive, at the zman written in the get he was still alive, so the get's able to be chal. Right? What this is assuming is that there is a rule that we didn't mention right now, but there is a rule called ein get lachar misa, that a person cannot, the Gemara will mention, but I think the Gemara is going to mention it, but there's a rule, ein get lachar misa. There are two ways to end the marriage. There's divorce and death. Once you've already ended it one way, the other way no longer ends the marriage because the marriage is already over. So if the husband's already dead, marriage is already over. Divorce is then not going to do anything to the marriage. He can't get divorced when he dies.
Again,
this is Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the one that said she's Muteris Linase, the one that was Matir the Shemen Akum, even though now it calls him Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, because now I guess it assumes we're not going to get confused. The only reason it normally calls him Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is to distinguish him from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, but since it's obvious who we're already talking about, so the Gemara just refers to him as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, that he issued this psak, and it wasn't accepted, either called Shaito during his entire lifetime, or called Siato, his entire group of Chevra weren't moda to this psak. Amr Lei, Rabbi Lazar, right, that's what it changes it to on the side. Yeah, Amr Lei Rabbi Lazar, Lehu Sabak, Hi Sharisua, Li Altav Sharisua. When he was matir this, when he was matir that the girl can get remarried, what was the nature of that kula? A guy gives a get to his wife January 1st, 2010, saying that if I don't come back by January 1st, 2011, you should be divorced with this get. So he's going with Zman Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav, which is January 1st, 2010. Does that mean that the second he leaves town, she can already get divorced because she has a get that says January 1st, 2010? Does it mean no? We at least wait for him to fulfill the tenai of not coming back. And once he doesn't come back, January 1st, 2011, that's when we're going to allow her to get remarried. Why don't you ask the same Shaila on the Mishnah? We have another Mishnah, Ditnan. If a guy gives a get to his wife and he says that this should be your get, may achshav, going back from now, if I don't come back within the next 12 months, ummeis betoch shneimas rechodesh, have a get, and then he dies within 12 months, it is a good get, because the get is supposed to be chal, back to the original date when he was alive, so therefore the get is going to work in that case. So that case of the Mishnah is exactly, in Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya's view, his case where he didn't say me'achshav, because Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya assumes me'achshav is built in, zmano shel shtar mochiach alav, that the me'achshav is sort of is just built into the case. So why didn't you ask tayikayim le tanai, because he fulfilled the tanai v'tibaylach, and then you should ask the shaila there on that Mishnah. Li'alt Rabbi Gita d'lo asa, al dim lachri beis chodesh to kaim leitanai. Do you say right away it's a good get because he's meaning it's going to be a get from January 1st, 2010, or do you assume that no, it's only a good get from January 1st, 2011 when there's a kiyum leitanai? So it says where inochinami al mishum dahavis ba huminyana. You're right. We could have asked it on the Mishnah, but we happened to be around when we heard Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya issue his psak even in the case where he didn't say me'achshav. So we ask it on him when he didn't say me'achshav. But inochinami, we could have said this in any number of circumstances. Okay, Amar Abai, Hakol Modim, L'kshteitze Chami Minatika, L'chi Nafka Kamala. So Abai says, everyone is Modai, even Rabbi Yossi, who says even Rabbi Yossi is Modai, that when a person says that when the sun comes out of its shell, of its protective covering, that it actually means when it comes out. V'chi Mayis, Belele, Get Lachar Misahu. And if he dies at night, then it's going to be a Get Lachar Misahu, it's going to be a problem of a get lachar misa, meaning if a person is saying that the get should be chal in the morning when the sun comes out, and he dies that night, so that's pretty obvious that the get's not going to be chal in the morning because he's already dead by the time he wanted the get to be chal. What if he says though, al menas sheteitze chama min artika? What if he says that, if he says, and this also again is obvious, if he says al menas, that the get should be chal al menas, that tomorrow morning the sun rises. So me'achshav karmelah, he clearly means that the get should be chal from right now al menas, that the sun rises the next morning. And if he dies that night before the sun comes out, the get is chal already from right now when he gave the get, and it's just a tanai that the sun has to come out the next morning. But the get is not a problem, it is a get mechayim. Kid Rafuna, like Rafuna says, Dam Rafuna kala omer almanas, komer me'achshav dami. When a person says almanas, that's like making a retroactive tanai. That's like saying me'achshav. So that's that everyone agrees to, right? That's not a machlokas. Lo nechluku ella bi'im teitze. The machlokas is if a person gives a get and he says that this should be a good get, im teitze, if the sun comes out. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi savor like Rabbi Yossi, damar zmanu shloshah mochiach lav. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds like Rabbi Yossi that it's zmanu shloshah mochiach lav. We look at the date written in the get, vavele kamei ayom im meisi, kamei achshav im meisi, and therefore we view it as if you said from today if I die, from now if I die, and therefore it goes back retroactively, and therefore if he dies that night, the get's still going to be chal because it goes back retroactively to the zman that's written in the get. Rabbanan lesu to Rabbi Yossi, vavele kizegi teichi im meisi greida. And the Rabbanan don't agree with Rabbi Yossi. They think it's as if you're just saying that this should be a good get if I die, which means in the future. So it's or if the sun comes out. So it's not going to be a valid get if he dies that night. Gufa, so on to the core of this inyan, hey, Yossi ben Yoazir Shredal, I'll come to Dachan, Val Mashka ben Mitbukhaya Dachan, Val Diakrav Lemisa Misav. So we have a correlate, Yosef Sharia. So we said that he was Gozer on these three things, on the certain type of grasshopper that's Tahar, on the Mashka ben Mitbukhaya that's Tahar, and if someone touches a mace that is Tameh, and they called him Yosef Sharia. So my Ayel Kamtsa, what is Ayel Kamtsa? We said that it's some type of grasshopper. What is it exactly? So says the Gemara, Rav Papa Amar Shushiva. Rav Papa says it is a Shushiva. Look at Rashi, Min Chaga Varosho Aruch, a type of grasshopper with a long head. Okay, it's a Shushiva grasshopper. Rav Chiyah Baram Mishmeidu Ula Amar Susvil. It is a Susvil grasshopper, not a Shushiva. Rav Papa Amar Shushiva V'kamifli Varosho Aruch. Marso Varosho Aruch Asur, Marso Varosho Aruch Mutter. So Rav Papa says it's Shushiva, and the Machlokas, whether this type of grasshopper is tahor or not, is about the machlokas between Yosef ben Yosef and the Rabbanan, is about when a grasshopper has a long head, is that a simon of a kosher grasshopper or not? So that's the core issue. Rabbi Chiya Barami Mishmeidu Ula Amar Susvil, that it's a Susvil which doesn't have a long head, but Rashi explains on the top, the Susvil Zain Rosh Awaruch, Aval Ein Knuff of Chofenes Rubo, Liros Le Einayim Elabitzim Tzumali De Medida, but its wings don't cover rove of its body in a visible way. It's only just barely that it covers its body. So susvil because he would say that when a grasshopper has a long head, everyone's going to agree that it's aser. Over here, it's only if the wings just barely cover over the body. Question is, when we say that one of the simanim of a kosher grasshopper is that the wings need to cover over its body, does it need to be an obvious rov, or does it need to be the type of thing where you would have to hold the grasshopper and measure it by every millimeter to figure out whether it's actually covering rov of the body? That's the issue of whether it's whether that's a siman of kashrus or not. How exactly to understand that siman of kashrus? Okay, Val Mashka be mitbechay dachin. We said that also the mashka, the blood and the water from the base mitbechaya is going to be tahar. My dachin, what does it mean that it's tahar? So Rashi alluded to this. Rav Amar dachin mamish. Rav says that it's going to be tahar mamish, that it's literally not going to have any tuma to itself. Ushmul Amar dachin in the tamei achirim of tumasatz min yeshben. It's going to be tahar in the sense that it's not going to be in tamei other things, but it has its own tuma. Rav Amar dachin mamish. Rav says that it's literally tahar because he holds that in general tumas mashkin is only midrabanan, and when the rabbanan goes there tuma by mashkin dialma. But by the mashkin be mitbechaya in the base of mikdash, they weren't goes there that tuma. That's Rav's understanding of the whole tuma being drabanan. Shmuel amar dachin tamei acherim. Shmuel holds no, it's tahar from making other things tamei. Aval tumas atzman yeshban, but it does have its own tuma. That he holds that the tumah of mashkin itself is daraisa. The ability to be metame other things is only derabanan. And when the rabbanan goes at the ability to be metame other things, only by mashkin di alma, but mashkin be mitbechaya, they weren't kosher the ability to be metame other things. Fine, and then the third gzeira of Yosef ben Yoazer, val diikrav lemesa misa v'korle Yosef sharia, that if you come close to a dead body and you touch a dead body, that you're going to become tame, and based on that is where they started calling him Yosef sharia. So Yosef asru mi bayulei, so frak the Gemara, that shouldn't have earned him the nickname Yosef sharia, that should have earned him the nickname Yosef asra. He asered it, he wasn't matter it. He said that you're going to become tame. V'od da'oraisi, plus, that's not a din d'rabban, that's no gzeira, it's da'oraisa, d'chsiv Pasuk says that anyone who touches a dead body in the open field, even if you're not in an ohel or anything, or an etzem from a dead body, an etzem kasar from a mace, or a bekever yitmashav asyamim, you're going to become tamei for 7 days, the Pasuk goes on to say. So this isn't a din d'rabbanan. So it says, Gemara d'oraisa, d'yikrav tamei, d'yikrav b'd'yikrav, tahar. Midaraisa, if you come close to the dead body, you're tame. But dikrav bidikrav, if you come close to that which comes close, then you're gonna be tahar. Va'asu inhu v'gazra afilu dikrav bidikrav. And then the rabbanan where goes there, even dikrav bidikrav, va'asu ihu v'ukma daraisa. Dikrav bidikrav v'gazri v'ukma daraisa. And then he came along, Yossi ben Yosef came along, and put it back on the daraisa status, where it's only that someone who himself comes close to the dead body, but not he who comes close to he who comes close. If you look at Rashi, va'asu inhu gazra al dikrav bidikrav v'asihu Yosef asid al dikrav l'misa misav da daraisahi avol dikrav bidikrav lo gazrin alei v'hainu Yosef sharia. And that's why they called him Yosef sharia, because he put back the din to the din daraisa. Fine. What does that mean? It means that if you touch someone who touched a dead body, they were gozer, that you should have the same tumah as someone who touched a dead body. Meaning they weren't gozer tumah. The fact that there's tumah, that's obvious, because someone who touches a dead body is an av hatumah. The dead body is the aviavos hatumah. Someone who touches a dead body is an av hatumah. Someone who touches the person who touched the dead body is a rishon l'tumah. But a rishon l'tumah doesn't need tumah shiva. It doesn't need 7 days with the paraduma. So that's what they were gozer, that even someone who touches the guy who touches the dead body should require tumah shiva. And he put it back on the din d'oraisa that you shouldn't require tumah shiva. So but even if you touch the guy who touched the dead body, that's also din d'oraisa, that anyone who the tamei person touches should also become tamei. The guy who touches the mace is what we refer to in the pasuk as the tamei, and we say anyone that he touches should become tamei himself. So it's a pasuk. So Amru Rabban Kamei the Rav Mishmei the Marzutro Bered Rav Nachman Dam Mishmei Rav Nachman d'oraisa dikrav dikra b'chiburin tumas shiva shalob b'chiburin tumas erev. Mida raisa, if you touch the guy, you touch the dead body, b'chiburin means that at the very moment that he's touching the dead body, you're touching him, that there's no time delay, he doesn't let go of the dead body, then you touch him. It's while he's actually touching the dead body that you touch him. So mida oraisa, if it's b'chiburin, so then you're going to become tamei tumas shiva. But mida oraisa, if it's shelo b'chiburin, if Reuven touches the dead body and then separates himself from the dead body and touches Shimon, mida oraisa, Shimon's only tamei till that evening. He's not tamei tumashiva. Va'asa inhu v'gazra afilu shalobi chiburin tumashiva. And then the rabbanon came along and they were gozer that even when it's shalobi chiburin, you should become tamei tumashiva. Va'asa ihu Yossi ben Yoezer came along va'ukma da raisa and put it back on the din da raisa that you're only going to become tamei tumas erev. So da raisa maihi, where is this din da raisa? What are we referring to when we talk about this din da raisa? Tachsiv, meaning that when it's bechiburin, that you're going to become tamei tumashiva when shalobi and then the pasuk says, after talking about a guy who became tamei from a dead body, anyone who the tamei person touched, yitma, should become tamei himself. But then it says that the nefesh hanugas is only tamei until erev. So how could you say on the one hand that he's going to become tamei, makes it sound like he's tamei to mashiva, and on the other hand, the guy who touched the dead body is only tamei to maserev? Okay, it's kan b'chiburin, kan shalom b'chiburin. So it must be the only way to answer up the psukim is one is talking about tumah b'chiburin, one is talking about tumah shalom b'chiburin. And that's where you see the din daraisa. Amlu Rava, so Rava said, Lava minulchu lo titlu bebuke sriki b'Rav Nachman. Haven't I told you not to say these ridiculous things in the name of Rav Nachman? Buke sriki literally means empty jugs. Don't hang these empty jugs on Rav Nachman. All these things, these dvarim she'inim that have no time to them. These totally illogical teachings. Why do you say them in the name of Rav Nachman? Hach yom Rav Nachman. So says Rav Nachman. Savik tum bereshus rabim hitur lehen. That what he was really matir was if he had a suffix whether you touched a dead body in a Rosh Hashanah Rabin. That's the big kula of Yossi ben Yoezer. That's what he was matir. That was his big kula. That's not a dintar abanan. That's a dintar raisa. That's derived from sota. That we darshan from sota. What's the case of sota? Sota is not really about tuma and tahara, but the Torah calls it tuma. The Torah says that when a sota goes and is along with another man and she makes herself tame, not literally tame, I mean she slept with the guy, but since the Torah calls it tuma, we derive halachos of tuma from the parsha of sota. So just like a sota can only happen in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, meaning when it's just them alone in a room, so too, any tuma b'Rosh Hashanah Yachid, when we don't know what happened, we assume the worst. Savik tum b'Rosh Hashanah Yachid, we assume it's tameh, but savik tum b'Rosh Hashanah Rabim, we assume it's tahar. So we already learned that out from sota. That can't be Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer's contribution. Ham Rabbi Yochanan halacha ve'in morin kein, va'asi ihu va'ori le'yoruye. No, it used to be a halacha ve'in morin kein. Savik tum b'Rosh Hashanah tahar, it was the technical din, midara, but no one ever relied on it. And Rabbi Yossi ben Yozer, his contribution was he started allowing people and encouraging people even to rely on it. Tani nami hachi, Rabbi Yehuda omer koros na'atz lehem, v'amer adkan rishos rabim, adkan rishos yachin. What did he do? He would stick beams in the ground and he would say, okay, this is the marker. Up until this point is rishos yachin, from this point and beyond is rishos rabim. Kiyosel kamed rabiyani, omer lehu, ha'maya b'shkiyosel de b'nahara, zilu tvolu. When Rabbi Yanai came, he said to them, Hamaya, what's the phrase? Hamaya bishik asa dibinahara. This water that's in the low part of the river, go and you could tovel in this water. I guess that also relates to the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Rosh Hashanah Yachid. I don't remember what this line means. What does Rashi say? Mishi yirbo safik tum Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Right, that's the point. Someone who had a safik tum Rosh Hashanah Rabim, he would say that, here, you can go tovel in this water. Fine. So now we're up to the major halach l'maisa sugya, probably the biggest halach l'maisa sugya of the Masechta, until we get to the very last couple of dapim of the Masechta, when we get to Tevilas Kelim and Hagalas Kelim. But right now, this is the sugya of Bishul Akum, and this, again, we could spend a lot of time on if we had the time. Vashlakos, I tried to rush through the rest, get to this. Vashlakos, and one of the Isurim in the Mishnah of things of Avdei Kachavim, that's Aser, Ba'achilu, but not Ba'hana'a, is Shlakos, is cooked food. truth. So says Gemara, Minani Mili. Where do we find that shlakos are in fact aser? So right away, Minani Mili. What kind of question is that, Minani Mili? Meaning, Minani Mili normally means if there's a din d'oraisa, we want to know what pasuk that din d'oraisa is based on. So if you look at Tosfos right away, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Demi Dibari Talmud B'shlakos, V'kasavar Midoraisi Hi, Shem Gzeira Kadmonis Hi, V'lo Nigzrei Ima Pas, V'shlakos Hi Inyanei Tavshil. He says right away what you see is, from the fact that the Gemara asks Minani Mili, even though at the end of the day, it's not going to be a pasuk. At the end of the day, all we're going to have is a din d'rabbanan here. But what you see from the fact that the Gemara had a havamina that it was a din d'oraisa was that this must have been a very, very early gezeira. That it wasn't that Chazal got together and decided, okay, pas and bishlak, and we're going to make them both aser at the same time. The timing of this gezeira, from the assumption that it's d'oraisa, had to have been a very early gezeira. Now, which tells you that initially they asered only bishul and not pas. Why would they have done that? Why would they aser only bishul akum and not pas akum? I saw three approaches. Seder Yaakov, one of the achronim, Amaseches Avodah Zarah, says, well, bread isn't eaten the taiva, bread is eaten the sova, and therefore it's less of a concern of chasnas, meaning people don't eat bread because they find bread delicious, people eat bread because they want to live. And therefore, it's not going to be something that develops a close relationship because it's not an extra in life. The extras in life are when you share with the Akum. That's what we're afraid is going to lead to a sense of chasnos. The Arachama suggested that bread isn't found. Bread is available everywhere. You can always find bread wherever you go, and therefore it's not special. Whereas specific dishes, cooked dishes, are more unique and more special, might create more of a relationship. The Ritva says that since bread is basic sustenance, where we rely on others, so it was not included in the Gzeiros Bishul, meaning basically the way the Ritva seems to assume is that it's a basic need of the community. They couldn't have been Gozer Pas originally. It was too necessary. We needed the bread too badly. So it's a little bit different than the way the Seder Yaakov said. It's not that it's a staple and therefore it's not going to lead to chasnus. It's a staple and therefore even if it might lead to chasnas, it would be a death sentence for the Jewish community to not allow them to have bread. So that's why they weren't gozer on it. Now, and that could be wise, because it's a gezeira kadmonis, because it's such an early gezeira, that's why they never got rid of the gezeira of bishul akum and they got rid of the gezeira of pasakum, right? They said that at some point, someone tried to be mater pasakum, and when they were mater pasakum, they were not mater bishul akum. Now, Tos points out that pas and bishul are also distinct when it comes to Erev Tavshilin. The Rosh Maseches Beitzah, Perek Beis, Simanit Aleph, holds that even if they are the same when it comes to Erev Tavshilin, we would distinguish between Ma'achole Akum, because Ein Rov Tzibri Chol Namun Pas, Kemo B'Shlakos, whereas by Erev Tavshilin, we might not distinguish. Meaning, when you make an Erev Tavshilin, our meaning is we take a matzah and we take a cooked food, let's say an egg, a hard-boiled egg, and that's how we make the Erev. Why do we have two separate things? Can't we just take one, just take an egg, and that will be enough to make the Erev? So our minig is to assume that Bishul and Pas are two different things. And if you want to be matir cooking for Yantif, so then you need to have a cooked food for your Erev. You want to be matir baking for Yantif, for Shabbos rather, on Yantif, then you need to take a baked item. Where does that distinction come from? By Shabbos, we don't assume that way. It's one av melacha on Shabbos, bishul, ofe, it's all the same. So by Shabbos, we assume it's one and the same. Why by Erev Tavshilin do we assume it's different? So we see on Drabbanan levels, when the Rabbanan made takanos, they assume that it was different. It happens to be major machlokas balei atosfos when it comes to Erev Tavshilin. In Maseches Beitzah, it's machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, whether in fact you do need separate bread also, it's just good enough to have a cooked item without a baked item. Okay, but that's just the background. So we see that the history is that it goes way, way back. Now, with the Gemara, again, it's going to first try to quote Pesukim, but at the end it's going to say that it's a Din D'Rabbanan. If it's a Din D'Rabbanan, what's the reason for the Din D'Rabbanan? Why would the Rabbanan go there on Bishul Akum? So Rashi Lamed Chesam Amar Al Tibra Maskel Mid Rabbanan, the top Rashi Lamed Chesam Amar Al, is going to say, Shelo Yehi Yisrael Rogil Etzlo B'machal Mishra V'yachlenu Davar Tameh. They were afraid the Jew is going to hang out too much with the guy and V'yachlenu Davar Tameh, and the guy is going to give the Jew something non-kosher to eat. So even though everything is kosher in this dish, we're afraid that if you start to develop a relationship, ultimately he's going to give you food that's not kosher. Tosfos Salam Chesam Nal says no, it's because of chasnus. It's because we're afraid of relationship leading to intermarrying. Now the Binyan Shlomo, one of the Achronim, suggests that even Rashi was only trying to explain why they were matir bread but not food, meaning but not bishul. He was not trying to explain the reason for the original gzeira. The original gzeira was definitely mishum chasnus, but he was saying that they couldn't, even once they were matir, the reason of chasnus, when it came to pass, they weren't matir bishulakum, because forgetting chasnus, there's an additional concern that he might come to give you a davar tame. Nafkamini between Rashi and Tosfos would be if it's a mumar. So if it's that he might come to give you a davar tame, a mumar might come to give you a davar tame also. But if it's mishum chasnus, then there's no problem with chasnus. Another nafkamini might be when there's no potential for marriage, when there's not going to be any marriage. The guy doesn't have a daughter, he doesn't have any, there's no one to develop a relationship with, something like that. So according to if it's mishum chasnus, so then you wouldn't, l'chora wouldn't have a problem, even though you really would. Shuvas Rashba says chasnus is a much broader thing. It's about general relationships with avdei kochavim. But if it's about Yachid and Davar Tameh, you'd always have to be concerned. All right, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll start again the sugya of Bishalakum.